So I want to start out, the guys are going to hand out sermon notes. If you want some, get their attention as they come by. I'm going to start out by sharing just a little bit quickly about Syria. If you've noticed on the news, there's some really rough stuff going on there. On the west side of Syria along the coast, that region was sympathetic to the former leader of Syria. There's a group of Muslims called Alawites that are very hated by the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims, which hate each other as well. But just the past few days, the government, current government, has sent troops into this area and just been brutal. There's one report I got said there's at least 4,000 that have been killed. The news is downplaying it considerably. Here's a note that came from John Samara. I just want to update you, a genocide is taking place against the minority in Syria by HTS. Disturbing images of men, women, and children being slaughtered have surfaced. I want to weep before the Lord. We live in a world that does not know justice. As the body of Christ, we must cry out to God on behalf of these people. Christians are caught in the middle and are being killed by this radical new ruling party, HTS. Today, a believer and his son, I think this was Thursday or Friday, a believer and his son who was studying theology were killed by HTS. Please pray for the mother who's been left alone in Latakia with her family. Please use your voice to help prevent genocide in Syria against the minority and a potential genocide against the Christians. One of the leaders, officials told a Christian, "We know who you are and where you are. We're coming after you next." So it's the face on it is a pretty face in some regards as far as the world is concerned, but the Christians have been concerned from the beginning that this government is going to use an excuse to come after the Christians. So, Father, we just cry out to you this morning. Our brothers and sisters are struggling. They're hurting. Lord, a number of them have lost family members or dear friends, and are facing fears, Lord, for their own lives. We pray, Father, as the disciples prayed in Acts, Lord, behold now their threatenings, and grant to thy servants boldness that they may declare your word. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and we pray your mercies and your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting that a lot of people are turning to the Lord through this already. Pastor Abraham in Damascus, this past week, I was on a Zoom call with him yesterday, and this past week, the courtyard with his church, the outer courtyard, was packed with people regularly. Across the area, these people are saying, our God is not doing anything for us. Our own people are turning against us and slaughtering us. Let's find a God that's real, that's true. And so many are turning to Christ. I want to start this morning by just backing up. A month ago, I shared a message on what our needs are as people. The need for acceptance, the need for understanding, and the need for care. In that message, I talked about the fact that there are those who have felt rejection from our congregation here. I did not talk to Lynn about this. Lynn shared about this in our members' meeting not long ago. I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking through us to a need that's here. That said, I want you to understand, I talked to several people that heard me say that it is across the board. No. I talked to Lynn. Some felt Lynn was saying that. No, Lynn was not saying it. We were not saying a blanket statement that our congregation everyone needs to repent of rejection. That's not what we were saying. We were saying it is something that people have felt. And we need to look at that and see, and I'll talk about that a little bit more here this morning. When we talk about this whole thing of finding healing for our hurts, I'm building off of the message from a month ago. So if you didn't hear that, you can go back and listen to it. I will say this. I could see on your faces that message was touching your hearts. And a number of people came to me afterwards and said that. So I want to build off of that this morning, and I want to think about a few things. Why do we walk in our hurts and in our pains? I'm curious. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'd like to, but I'm not going to do that. I'm curious how many of us have found some healing for hurts and pains that we've experienced in the past within the last month or two. We have found healing for some past hurts. I'd have to raise my hand. Why is it that when we come to Jesus Christ, accept Him as Lord and Savior, why do we not immediately experience a total healing of all those hurts and all those pains? We'll talk about that some more. Isn't Jesus enough? Is the work He did not complete? Is it when He said it's finished? Is that not the case? So, you know, hasn't God provided what we need? You know, so we can look at our hurts and the stuff we struggle with, and we can ask this question. It's a valid question. It's an important question. Here's a question that I think a lot of us need to think about. Am I satisfied with just a little bit of healing? If I have a cut and it's hurting really bad, am I okay with just, if I have a numbing thing, some kind of medication to numb it, would that be enough? The pain's gone. I'm good, right? No, that thing needs to be healed. And sometimes that can take some time. But one of the things that has to happen is I have to want healing. I have to want it. The children of Israel are a perfect example of this. When God delivered them out of Egypt, what were they wanting? What were they crying out to God for? All of those years that God said, I've heard your cries, I've seen your pain. What were they crying out for? What did they want? Deliverance, freedom. So they get on the other side of the Red Sea. All of a sudden, they forget. Oh, we wish we could go back to Egypt. We had food there. We had water there. Duh. What did you want? I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves. So we come to Jesus, He saves us, it feels good. Is that good enough? Or do we want Him to take us on a journey of healing where we are able to face our hurts and our pains and the stuff from our past and bring it out and get healing for it. Is that what we want? That's important for us. I don't think there's anyone here that has not experienced rejection, misunderstanding, and uncared for. Maybe from a little kid. Maybe from in the womb, like we talked about. Do you want healing from that? Are you willing to deal with it? Are you willing to press into it? I want to read, this is Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. This is from the NLT, but you may want to follow along in King James or another version and just pay attention. This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking, the Lord speaking through him. He says, "My grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken. Listen to the weeping of my people. They're in captivity. It can be heard all across the land. Has the Lord abandoned Jerusalem?" the people ask. "Is her king no longer here or there? Why have they provoked my anger?" This is the Lord answering what they're asking. "Why have they provoked my anger with their carved idols and their worthless foreign gods?" says the Lord. Here's what they say. "The harvest is finished. The summer's gone," the people cry, "yet we're not saved." And this is the answer. "I hurt with the hurt of my people." This could be said, Jeremiah can be saying it from Jeremiah's heart. It's the heart of God. "I hurt with the hurt of my people." Do you know that? Today, God's heart, and we read that about Jesus, our high priest. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It matters to him what you're hurting about. "I'm hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn. I'm overcome with grief." Isn't there medicine or balm? The King James says, isn't there balm in Gilead? Isn't there a physician there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? This is a cry of Jeremiah as he pours out his heart through God. God's plan is not for his people to live their lives under the burden of their hurts and their pains from the past. His plan is to bring us healing. But we have to come to him to get it. And that's important. Now, I want us to just quickly understand some meanings here. The hurt of my people means the breaking, the shattering, the crushing, the vexation, the bruising. There's a phrase in the King James that says, "I am black." It's in the NLT, it said something about darkness or heaviness. Darkness, mourning, heaviness. There's a number of scriptures that use that, and I'm not going to take time to go to them this morning. He talks about this whole thing of no balm. I find it fascinating. This area of Gilead was known for its balm. And if you pay attention, the caravan of Ishmaelites that picked up Joseph and took him to Egypt was coming from Gilead, carrying balm and spices to Egypt. Pretty fascinating, right? And so when Joseph is down there in Egypt, he is experiencing the balm of Gilead. That's what's giving him strength to overcome. That's what's healing the wounds of his heart. That rejection, that misunderstanding, that not being cared for that Joseph was experiencing, that balm of Gilead went right down there with him. Spiritual sense. You following me? And then it's fascinating that when his brothers get ready to go down and get corn the second time, Jacob says, you get some gifts together. I want you to get some choice fruit, some choice things from our country. Make sure you take some balm along. This area was known for this healing salve, this balm. So what Jeremiah is referring to here has some validity there. He talks about this whole thing of the health or the healing or the restoration. And it's interesting that this thing of health is the exact same thing used in Nehemiah chapter 4, where it talks about that the walls were made up. They were back in place. Things were like they were supposed to be. That's the whole idea of this health that he's talking about. Now, I want you to understand something. I talked with someone about this, I don't remember who. People do what people do because of what they feel. What we feel in our heart goes to our mind and gives instructions to us what to do. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth talks, Jesus said. So you wonder why somebody's saying what they're saying? There's something going on down in their heart. You wonder why people do what they do? It's because of what they feel. What we feel is not necessarily what someone wanted us to feel. Okay? So, if you're a little child and you felt rejected by your father or mother or your siblings, it may well be that that was not their intent. You know, as fathers, we have this thing where we feel like it's our obligation, our responsibility to get our children doing what they need to do. And we can get a little bit heavy-handed and harsh and not approaching them. And the Bible talks about this. Don't make your children angry. Be soft with them. Be kind with them. Yeah, we have to be firm, but we have to be soft and caring and understanding. And you as a child may have felt rejected. You may have felt misunderstood. You may have felt uncared for. And it may not have been the intent of your parent that you felt that way. But you feel it. And you act out of that. And so, it may not have been our intent to reject someone in our congregation. But if that's what they felt, that's what they felt. And you can't just say, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Yeah? You shouldn't feel that way, Craig, about your coffee. Right? But you did. And what you felt directed what you did, right? Absolutely. It happens every time. And so we've got to understand this idea that we respond out of what we feel. Now, what does that tell you? If someone's feeling rejected, unaccepted, not understood, not cared for, what does that mean that we have to do? If it's someone in my family or one of my close friends, what do we have to do? Tell them, no, you're not rejected. You're not misunderstood. Is that what we have to do? No. We have to make extra effort to make them feel accepted and understood and cared for, right? We have to do that. And we want to do that. We want them, because the person that's going to feel accepted and understood and cared for is going to respond to life out of a lot better place than the person who feels rejected, misunderstood, and uncared for. Just a fact. So I want us to just get that and just think about what that means. So I want us to think, first of all, about the body. Now, we're talking here about when we look at the balm of Gilead that Jeremiah is mentioning there, he is talking about spiritual body. And so I want us to get it here. The implications can be spiritual and physical, but I want us to think about this. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 is the only scripture that I could find that talks specifically about member, members, members of. He's talking about the body. And in that, he's giving us that in the context of spiritual gifts. So God gives spiritual gifts to the body. The body is His body. Not this body, His body. He gives the spiritual gifts to everyone according to His understanding, according to His plan, according to His will. So, you know, the struggle that he's talking about in this whole thing of the body is not unique to a local church. It's not unique to a geographic area. It's not unique to a certain people group, any of those kind of things. In fact, it's interesting because one of the things we find in the Middle East is the same thing that we find here. And there, and there, and there, and there. Churches can't get along. So we go in and we try to have a training for church leaders. And there's certain churches that will not sit down with someone from another church. They're both Christians. But because of something that's there, there can't be healing. The body is not functioning properly. It's not functioning well. It's also interesting that in this whole thing of the members, in the middle of all that, he uses the concept of differences and diversities over and over and over. You want a body that's all thumb? No eyes, no ears, no hands, no feet, just thumb. Oh, hi, thumb. What do you want today? Well, talk to me. Are you listening? Thumb. No, we don't want a body like that. We want a body that has members, that has parts. It's also interesting that we get a lot of the pain from members of our body. So you smash your thumb and you get sick to your stomach. What? You didn't do anything to your stomach. What happens? We've got a body. We're members one of another. We have connection. And that connection is vitally important. A doctor, a psychologist, anybody that works with bodies and people can tell you those are very, very important things. Now, let's just pay attention to what God's intent was. His intent was for the body to be whole and to be healthy. Every member doing its part. And every member considering the other members. Do you want health? Do you want healing? Or are you okay with where you're at? The body is intended to aid the healing process. So when you hurt your thumb, it's nice to be able to put it inside your hand so that it's protected, right? So your body aids in protection and the healing. Your body participates in all of that. That's important. So then this question comes to us. Well, why then is not the health of my people recovered? When members of the body are hurting, function is inhibited. We function the best when the body is the most healthy. Just a fact. Now, I want us to go, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here that connect to this whole idea of God wanting us to be restored. God wanting us to have health, spiritual health. He's put out there the balm of Gilead for us. He's the physician. He knows how to apply that, where to apply that, and he knows what the results are going to be. And so he's interested. So he tells us in James, and there's something here that I never noticed before. I want you to pay attention to. So in James chapter 5, verse 16, he talks about confessing your faults one to another, so that you can be healed. One of the things that Scripture teaches us is this. When we have sin, and we come to God, and we confess our sin, confession is agreement. That's all confession is. Simple agreement. It's not, when we say what it is, that's not confession. When we agree with God about what it is, that's confession. God says it's a sin, I say it's sin. Okay? I'm agreeing with God. I'm not stating anything on my own. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He does that. That's His promise. It happened. James says, is anybody sick? Confess your fault one to another that you may be healed. Those hurts, those pains, all that stuff that you carry, you can come to God and ask forgiveness for where you've sinned. And He'll forgive that sin. That's not a question. But if you want healing for that, you need to speak it. I felt fear. I felt rejection. I felt misunderstood. I felt uncared for. You need to speak that out in order to be healed. Here's something I found. And I'll just tell you this. So I've got two different Bible programs. I've got the BLB, Blue Letter Bible, on my phone. And I've got BibleSoft on my computer. I went there and they gave two different meanings. Gave two different words as coming from Strong's. And two different meanings to those words. But here's what the BLB showed me. So this whole idea of being... let me back up. Jesus uses this word, confess your faults. He uses it as mostly as trespasses or offenses, where it's person to person. And that's the part that I've never really caught before. I always thought about confess your faults means to confess your sins. And there is some of that. But Jesus takes it to a level where if you want healing in your life, you've got to talk about that personal relationship. And that's why I say those hurts that we have from interpersonal relationships, the rejection, the misunderstood, the uncared for, have to be spoken out loud to a person, to the Savior. And then we can find healing from that. That's important. Now let's just look at this whole idea of healing a little bit. So that you may be healed or made whole. In Matthew 13, verse 15, it's related to spiritual life. In Luke 4, verse 18, Jesus relates it to the brokenhearted. This whole thing of healing, these are all made whole. This is all the same root word. In John 12, it relates to Israel's salvation, them understanding the scriptures. In Acts chapter 9, verse 34, Peter tells them, Jesus is the one making you whole. In Acts 10:38, it talks about those that are oppressed by the devil. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he's talking about physical healing, where he says, by his stripes you're made whole. So this whole idea of you will be healed is covering a huge area. God wants to bring healing to our hurts. Would you agree that our hurts individually are pretty big? Why do we get bitter? Why don't we forgive? Because those hurts are big. Can you imagine the hurts of the whole world? Just the hurts of everybody here. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I want us to just look at Isaiah 53. I want us to think about this and apply it to our lives. Read Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and you'll find out Jesus carried our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He carried our transgressions. He carried our iniquities. He carried our chastisement. He carried our healing. Listen, Jesus carried all of my junk, all of our junk to the cross. Every hurt, every brokenheartedness, every pain, every sorrow, every grief, every care, everything for everyone. He carried it in his own body on the cross. That's what Isaiah 53 is talking about. That's important. If you and I are going to find healing from our past, healing from the things that make us do what we do because of what we feel, and we may not even recognize what we're feeling. But if that happened back there, it has not been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. It is going to give us pain. It's going to give us pain for the rest of our life. We may not even notice it. We may not recognize it. We may wonder what's going on. Just ask God to show you. He'll show you. He'll open your heart and say, hey, look, you know what? This happened. And we bring it to Him, lay it down out loud, and we find healing. We find hope. Why? Because He carried it. He carried it. I'll just share a secret with you. One of the secrets that has helped me tremendously, is to just, in my mind's eye, envision Jesus going to the cross and envision the lash marks across his back. His back was so marred more than any man. His back was ripped to shreds. And I can take this hurt, this rejection, this misunderstanding, this lack of being cared for, and I can place it in my mind's eye. I can place it in one of those lash marks and say, thank you, Jesus. You carried that for me. I'm free. That has helped me so much. And when you feel hurt by someone, just do that. It's amazing. Jesus carried all of our junk to the cross. All of it. I just can't stress that enough. Now, I want you to think about something. If he didn't carry it, then it's mine to carry. Okay? That's the long and the short of it. If he didn't carry it, then I got to carry it myself. What do you have to carry? What are you carrying that you don't have to? That's the question that Jeremiah is asking. Isn't the balm in Gilead? Doesn't that heal people anymore? Isn't the physician a good physician? The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. An old song that I remember. Now, I want you to pay attention to something. There's always a debate about whether Jesus paid for our physical healing in his body on the tree. Because Isaiah says that. Who in his own body bore our sickness on the tree. That's putting it into my words, but that's what it says. When Jesus was here on earth, he was continually tying physical healing and spiritual healing together. The Pharisees said, you don't have the right to forgive sins. He said, watch this. Stand up and walk. And so he was continually tying physical and spiritual healing together. You don't have the right to forgive sins. You don't have the right to... The only way this can happen is by the power of God. Well, absolutely. That's what he was here to show us. And I want you to think about something. Be careful. People say that Jesus did not carry our physical healing in his body, that would mean that everybody would be healed instantly. Wait a minute. Just think with me a minute. How many of you here are sinless? No, none of us. Did Jesus take our sins to the cross? Which ones? All of them, past, present, future, he took in his own body on the cross. When are we going to know the reality of that? The fullness of the reality of it. On the other side, right? We're not going to know it in this life. The same way physical healing works. It's paid for by Jesus. If he had not carried it to the cross, we would be under immense physical suffering. But he carried it to the cross. And because he carried it to the cross, because he carried all my junk to the cross, I can rest in him. And I can thank him. Thank you, Jesus. You carried all of my junk to the cross. And I know there's a number of you that have found this whole truth to be reality, where you go back and you take some of those pains from your past and you bring them to the foot of the cross and you find relief. You find cleansing. You find freedom. You find healing. And it's so powerful. It's so strengthening and blessed. Two questions I want you to think about. In your own life, what are you doing to deal with your stuff? Is it available? And does it work? What are you doing with the rejection that you've experienced? What are you doing with the misunderstanding? What are you doing with that uncared for feeling? What are you doing with it? Is it working? I've got something here that works. Absolutely guaranteed it works. It always has since Jesus was here, and it always will. I could take you in Syria to some people, young people, that have experienced horrific things. I could take you to a young girl who ISIS came to her house and they decapitated her brothers in front of her. And in her mind, she said, I will never forgive. And one day, in a Christian school, the teacher shared with them the power of forgiveness. And that little girl found freedom. And she stood up in front of her class and she said, today, I choose to forgive the ones that did that to my brothers. And she found freedom. She found healing. There was balm in Gilead. There was strength there. There was power there. There was healing there. Her little heart was healed. Sure, there's still scars. Sure, there's still stuff there, but her heart was healed from the trauma of all of that. So I just want you to think about, is it available? Is there still balm in Gilead? And does it work? Why is not the daughter of my people whole? Stand with me. Father, we bow our heads and our hearts before you this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We cannot imagine. No wonder you didn't want to go to the cross. The weight of the world on your shoulders. Our sins would be just bad enough, but then to take our grief and our pain and our sorrows and our cares and our sickness and all of our junk, Lord, in your own body, we cannot imagine. We fall before your feet. We kiss your feet. We wipe your feet with the hairs of our head and cry our tears over your feet in appreciation, oh Lord, for what you've done for us. I pray, Father, that the hurts, the sorrows, the griefs, the cares, all of those things that we struggle with that cause us to do the things that we do, I pray, Father, that you help us to recognize them by your Spirit and bring them to the cross and ask you to carry. And thank you for carrying them, Lord. We don't need to. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.